This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We will get right back to your phone calls. Thanks so much for weighing in. Also, I just sifted through your comments on social media about the Dak Prescott contract. And, it's a hot button issue to be sure. I would just again caution you. Make sure that you take everything with a grain of salt. I don't believe that Jane Slater of NFL Network, NFL.com, put an erroneous piece of information on her Twitter and on TV. It was given to her probably exactly the way that she passed it along. But she also qualified it a little bit later on and said it was about negotiating. And that she still expected Dak to sign for somewhere in the $34 to $35 million range. Even if it is posturing by Dak's camp, there's no way that he and his agent expect to get $40 million a year. And if I'm the Cowboys, I laugh in his face. Not his face, maybe, but the agent's face. That's ridiculous. We have two other offensive stars to sign. And that's $5 million more than the highest paid quarterback is getting right now. No. the answer is no. Just like Antonio Brown can't wear an outdated, unregulated helmet. The answer is no. Hell to the no. So I think this is more about leaks and more about getting information out there so that people can debate over it, potentially swaying public opinion. But this is not a number that is going to be given to Dak Prescott. $40 million a year is not on the table. And it shouldn't be. And he has to know that. But it's certainly gotten a crazy reaction. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So a couple of other things. Tom Brady was asked about changing helmets in light of what's happened with Antonio Brown. So I want you to hear from him. For those of you who are now listening on our new Boston affiliate, 93.7 FM WEEI in the Boston area, he makes a weekly appearance on the Greg Hill Show, which is the morning show that that follows us on WEEI. And because of everything happening with AB and him speaking to an arbitrator with the NFL and the NFLPA, having their reps also on the conference call, that was last Friday. It lasted a couple hours. I couldn't even understand why it would last a couple hours, except that I guess the arbitrator was sympathetic and yet firm. So sympathetic to AB's cause, but firm about it. No, there's no wiggle room here. And so Brown has said he disagrees with the arbitrator's decision, but he will make plans, or he is making plans, to rejoin his teammates in Napa very soon. Tom Brady had made pretty pointed comments, groused about having to change helmets in the past. Remember, there were 31 NFL players who last season were using helmets under the league's grace period. So they knew the time was coming when those helmets were going to be on the banned list and were no longer acceptable under safety standards, not just NFL standards, but the helmet manufacturers and the helmet regulations. That's independent of the NFL. There's an organization that has to certify and test all these helmets. And that company, that organization, has indicated these helmets are outdated, they're too old, and they can't meet the safety standard. And so it's about keeping up with the technology and making sure you always have the best to protect the heads, the brains of people who are playing football. And at the NFL level, where it's bigger, stronger, faster than any other type of football, certainly the league has to toe the line when it comes to helmet regulations. I applaud the league for not making any type of wiggle room or stipulation here. But it meant that several dozen players had to adjust to new helmets. And so Brady fielded a couple of questions about adjusting, and you can tell it's still not his favorite thing.
They kind of spoke to me last year about it, and I've been experimenting with a couple different ones, and I don't really love the one that I'm in, but you know, I don't really have much of a choice, so I'm just trying to do the best I can to work with it.
I appreciate that he says that. I don't have much of a choice. In other words, I play in the NFL. These are the rules. I have to follow them. Case closed. Whether or not I like it. He had to adjust. Aaron Rodgers had to adjust. I'll tell you what, that's still one of my favorite things about the way that the Raiders handled this. Is Brown shows up to camp and he's complaining about having to wear a helmet that's not his, not the one he's used for the first 9 years of his career. And he complains that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are getting special treatment. They're not under scrutiny, even though they're having to change helmets too. And the Raiders find a video of Aaron Rodgers wearing a new helmet and they text it to him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, Greg Hill's show on WEEI asking Brady about wearing a new helmet as opposed to the one that he wore for the last, for more than the last couple seasons.
My last helmet, you know, I wore in the last four Super Bowls, you know, so it was a pretty great helmet for me. And I hated to put it on the shelf. But, you know, that was kind of what they said to do. So kind of what I'm dealing with, and I'm working with something else.
You can just hear in his tone of voice how unpopular this whole switch is with him. And yet again, he says, I have no choice. This is what I have to do. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you want to weigh in on the Dak Prescott money or some of these other NFL topics, you certainly can. The opening episode of Hard Knocks, I had watched bits and pieces of it, but because of everything that's happening around the Raiders, I sat down on Monday afternoon and watched it front to back and took notes. If you've seen it, I'd love to know what you think of it. I had kind of been over Hard Knocks. It wasn't my favorite show the last few years. In fact, I didn't watch it the last few years. But I went back and watched this one, and I'm hooked. Mostly because of John Gruden. I would rather hear John Gruden, unfiltered NFL head coach, than John Gruden, the broadcaster and analyst, any day. He is way more entertaining and colorful as a head coach when we don't have to worry about censorship and bleeping him out. He is salty and funny as heck. So there are a couple of moments that stand out to me. Number one, his conversation with rookie Jonathan Abram, who, despite admonishments from his position coaches, refused to stop hitting guys in practice. So, as you know, they only have limited days where they can wear pads and actually hit each other. And Abram was hitting guys anyway, and his teammates were getting ticked at him. Like, yo, man, I mean, just wait till we line up in pads and you're going to get it back. I mean, he got admonished multiple times, and still they would line up and there would be a snap and he would hit guys anyway. And so finally, John Gruden pulls him aside and is like, man, here's the deal. We're a family here. These are your guys. There's no need to hurt them. You don't need to prove yourself. And he's like, but I just want to hit guys. This is unnatural to me. And Gruden's like, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying and we appreciate your intensity. That's why you're on the team. But what do you stand to gain by hitting your own guys? I mean, so he has this pretty reasonable conversation with him. And finally, he's just like, man, you have to do it because I'm the head coach. I mean, he kind of lays it out there and was like, I appreciate your concerns, but stop hitting your own guys. And there was another conversation where he was talking to multiple members of his coaching staff and defense. So it was kind of a group of them there. And he says something like, there are other leagues where you can play. You can make $800 a week if you really want to get the crap beat out of you. And so so the guys kind of think about that for a second. They're like, no, we're good. We're good here. Thanks. So, yeah, he's so matter-of-fact, but he has a dry sense of humor, which I really appreciate. Abram, by the way, is kind of the star of that first episode of Hard Knocks. I don't know if it's going to continue that way, but he was part of the rookie dinner with Derek Carr. So Derek Carr takes out all the rookies and foots the bill. And Abram has a camera on him the whole time. And he says something about, he repeats multiple times that Derek Carr has signed a $120 million contract. He just keeps bringing it up. For instance, hey, your kids never have to work. If it was me and my dad, and you were my dad, I would know for damn sure. I'd tell everybody that my dad signed a $120 million contract and I don't have to work ever. Carr was like, no, I want my kids to work. I want them to learn the value of work. And Abram's like, I don't care. $120 million. And you know what? You're going to make another contract. Probably going to be another $120 million. $240 million? Uh-uh. I'm never working. Your grandkids don't have to work. And he goes on and on about Derek Carr's money. I'm sure Carr really appreciated that. Also, because they're in Napa, he and one of his teammates took advantage of horseback riding. You know, horseback riding in wine country. I want to go to NFL training camp. I want to go horseback riding in Napa. So it's kind of funny when the conversation that he had with his teammate, who really didn't know anything about horses, but apparently Abram has a couple horses. He had a whole conversation with his teammate where they tried to figure out if a horse was a stallion or a gelding. And Abram had to explain to his teammate why the horse was a gelding and what that meant. So that was good stuff. As for Antonio Brown, like, I know a lot of people really enjoyed the hot air balloon moment where he arrived at camp in a hot air balloon. And there were also some snippets where he was working out with a trainer and the trainer is trying to get him to dial back and he won't. He just keeps going hard. So they can't allow him to be on the practice field because he refuses to throttle back. But here's my favorite part about Antonio Brown. He has his kids out there on the practice field and I mean, he's not practicing. But his kids are out there with him. I think there were three with him, two little boys. And they keep asking him, Daddy, why aren't you running today? And he's like, well, you know, Daddy can't run today. And then there's one little boy who asks three times, where's Roethlisberger? Where's Roethlisberger? Where's Roethlisberger? So, so cute. And AB sits down on his helmet. He's like, we don't play. He's with the Steelers. We don't play for them anymore. So I think that was my favorite part with Antonio Brown's family. Really need to be inside the coaches' meetings too on Hard Knocks. And I'm a big fan already of D-line coach Brenson Buckner, who is new to the Raiders in 2019. He'd coached for other teams previously. I think he was with the Buccaneers last season, if I'm not mistaken. He retired, about 14, 15 years ago. But it's his first stint with the Raiders, and he's also just real, puts it out there. It doesn't beat around the bush, doesn't sugarcoat. It's just about getting the work done. And he's saying to a couple of other coaches, you know, man, it's great to be a coach when you've got the guys that that you want, when you've got the guys that'll work hard. When you don't have the guys that you want, whew, it's not easy to be a coach. So those are all some really cool things that I liked about the first episode of Hard Knocks. The equipment managers too, they had to cut a player. They did cut a player and bring in someone else. He was an undrafted rookie. They cut him and decided he wasn't going to work. And they bring in someone else who can fill that spot and compete for a spot on the roster. And the equipment managers, it kind of shows them in the locker room, you know, after hours, taking all of the old number 63 gear and sneakers and jersey out of the locker and then replacing it with different sizes, same number 63 for the new guy who's coming in and has an opportunity. A lot of focus on Richie Incognito, a lot of focus on Incognito. And then here's my absolute favorite part, although John Gruden was a pretty close second. My favorite part was the old footage of John Madden talking about the seven-man sled. Oh, John Madden, of course, a former coach of the Raiders, but They had all this old footage. I think it was from the turn of the century where Madden was explaining the value of a 7-man sled, but also demonstrating how a coach can stand on the 7-man sled and just listen to the clash of pads. And so a lot of the guys are like, we haven't seen a 7-man sled since we were in college. And Madden is, again, this was back in 2000. He was kind of demonstrating what it's supposed to sound like and look like. And he's not at Raiders camp. He's standing on this rusty old 7-man sled in some parking lot somewhere. It was awesome. It was classic NFL film stuff with the music and the voice and the narration and then John Madden. So I really loved it. I feel like I've had my love for Hard Knocks rekindled. And so I'm looking forward to episode number 2 on HBO because it was good stuff. I feel like Gruden's the star of the show. And I really enjoy the behind-the-scenes views and the behind-the-scenes perspectives of the guys that you're getting who are attempting to make rosters. And for Gruden and the regulars, they really want to turn this around. I mean, they don't want to go through another 4-12 season. So it was good stuff. Mike Mayock present in all of it, of course. So if you haven't seen it, there's a podcast. There's all kinds of stuff, but I liked it. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, you're weighing in on the Dak Prescott question. We will get to your calls straight ahead, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Cowboys down 3-0, but on the move. Rams will blitz. Picked up. Prescott throwing over the middle. Cooper on a slant at the 15. Cooper to the 10 to the right sideline of the 5, and he'll walk into the end zone for the touchdown. Amari Cooper with his first career playoff touchdown, and it gives the Cowboys a 6-3 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I can't wait to hear Kevin Kugler again. That one on Westwood 1, and certainly it's a better offense if you've got Ezekiel Elliott, if you've got Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. And the Cowboys' dilemma is how to pay all three. They have offered contracts that would put each of those players in or near the top 5 at their respective positions when it comes to average annual salary. $40 million is ludicrous. And I do not believe that that's even on the table. And I also don't believe that Dak's camp is asking for that because that's a waste of time. However, you can believe what you want to believe. There are conflicting reports out there. The last that we'd heard, Dak's agent before yesterday's report, the last that we'd heard from Dak's agent was in June, about $34 million a year. So also consider that piece of information. Why the heck would they jump from $34 to $40 million a year when they already had a negotiating window? So the Cowboys had reportedly offered about $30 million per year. Dak's camp turned that down. What they were looking for was $34. And then all of a sudden they decided they wanted $40. That doesn't make any sense. So again, kind of use some logic here. Use some rational thinking because that makes no sense. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. John is listening in the Lone Star State. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio. John.
Yes. Hey, John from Fort Worth.
Awesome.
Long-time listener. I'm a bar manager, so I'm driving home all the time listening to you.
Cool.
I know Dak Prescott, he recently, I don't know how recently, but he switched his agent,
mm-hmm.
and he's now with CAA. And from what I understand about CAA is they make Scott Boras look like child's play, like it's t-ball. So I'm kind of thinking like they're throwing the $40 million a year out there, and they know they're not going to get the 40, but they don't want to sign him at 30, 32, 35, and he may be the highest paid for a year or top 5 for a year or two, but the salary cap's continuing to rise, and they understand that. And they've had numerous other players. I think Tony Romo was one of them, even, and he was a top five. I think when he signed his last contract, even though he couldn't stay healthy for whatever, you know. And it's just, I don't know. I think they're hoping to settle close to the 35 and settle early, because the longer they put it off, if they do want to keep Dak, the price is going to keep going up and up just because of the salary cap that keeps rising. And
yeah, but it's not rising this year, though. I mean, it's already risen. It's where it is for this year. So the number's already been set. And Cooper and Dak have to be paid. And Ezekiel Elliott, obviously, is making this an issue, forcing this issue with the Cowboys. So for now, they have resources, an allotted amount of money that has to be spread among not just those three guys, but anybody else who needs a contract. Just so that other people out there know, Dak changed agents in 2018, so a year ago in June. So he made that move to CAA, as you point out, in advance of this new contract, but it didn't just happen. So the number from this June, 2019, about his agency asking for roughly $34 million a year, that would be under his new agent, CAA.
Okay, right. Yeah, and I understand that Dak has, I believe, 2 years left on his contract.
No, he has one. He's in a contract year. He and Amari Cooper are in contract years. Ezekiel Elliott has two left.
Okay, so Zeke's got the 2 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I understand that they're, but I think it's more, because I've heard numerous interviews with him, from local media and whatnot, and Dak basically every time just says, hey, man, I'm just leaving it up to my agent, and he's kind of, I know he's involved, obviously.
I wouldn't be surprised, of course.
But he's putting the vibe off, and Amari Cooper as well, because I've heard interviews with him. And they're just kind of both acting like, hey, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about going. I'm playing football. I'm going to do the best I can. You know, obviously they want to make money, and I'll never blame a player for taking more money at another place. I mean, owners are billionaires, and I understand there's a salary cap and the money. There's only so much pie that can be spread around.
And it's a business, though, still, John. And if you know anything about Jerry Jones, you know he's a shrewd businessman. He is not going to bid or offer a contract, even if Dak Prescott does become the highest paid player in NFL history, which it doesn't sound like that's where they are right now. But even if he does, he's not going to outbid the Russell Wilson contract by $5 million per year. That's not even close to being good business. If you want to make him the highest paid quarterback, then go 35 and a half or go 36, and you're still giving him a better contract than any other quarterback in the league. But to all of a sudden jump to 40 makes no sense whatsoever.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't necessarily think it's really coming from Dak. I think it's more of he's putting it in the hands of his agent.
Yeah, no, I don't believe it is what I'm telling you, John. I don't actually believe that report. I don't believe it's accurate. I'm not saying that Jane Slater made it up, what I'm saying, or that, you know, the other sources did. What I'm saying is that I think it's posturing. I think it's a leak put out there. Who knows by whom, but it's there's no way that that's what Dak's asking for realistically, because it's not happening. It's not a starting point. They'll never get that money. I got to let you go because we're at the bottom of the hour, but thanks so much for calling. We're glad to keep you company at night when you are working at the bar or on your way home. 855-212-4227 is where you can get us on the phones. We'll get right back to your calls. And then also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I mean, you're already blowing up our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A lot of excitement around Cleveland sports right now. First of all, the Indians are in first place solo, all by their lonesome, for the first time since late April. They've got a half game lead after a walk-off victory against the Red Sox on Monday, and the Twins being idle. They're ahead by a half game. And so that's pretty cool considering where they were. They've got the best record in the majors over the last 9 weeks, 43-17. And yes, I am keeping score at home. I'm doing the math on my lonesome. So that's Cleveland Indians. But how about the Cleveland Browns? And certainly a lot of excitement about their upcoming season. I am definitely into the Raiders on Hard Knocks, but I think it would have been entertaining to see these new and improved Cleveland Browns on Hard Knocks. So Freddie Kitchens is highly entertaining. And, you know, the quarterback wakes up feeling dangerous and all that jazz, plus Odell Beckham Jr. So I would have been cool. There are Antonio Brown's feet again. Why? Why are Antonio Brown's feet again on my TV set? Why? So we have DirecTV here in our studios at CBS Sports Radio, and I had managed to avoid seeing Antonio Brown's feet until last week when they were staring at me on the TV screen. Now that we've gone through the whole helmet controversy, why do we need to see the feet again? It's not necessary. But here I am looking up, minding my own business, just talking on my radio show, and boom, his feet are staring me in the face again. So gross, not any better. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Mike, who's in Boston. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. I wanted to say first that you're an ace, and I hope your bosses are listening.
Thank you.
So at the expense of sounding like I'm a homer, I am a Pats fan, and hopefully the other GMs aren't listening when I'm about to say this, but the way to construct a championship team isn't to put salary bombs on a couple of high-profile players, and then, you know, the rest of the team is, you know, a bunch of Joes. You know, you look at the Pats, and, you know, to Brady's credit, he's never wanted to be the highest-paid player. If you look at the running backs the Pats have had over the years, you know, probably the most high production back they've ever had was Corey Dillon. You know, and he made $2.7 million mm-hmm. over those 3 years that he was with the Pats. Mm-hmm. And that was after making $2.9 million in his last year with the Bengals. And so, you know, if players want to go max, you know, Belichick just says, see you later. But there are exceptions. I mean, you have Devin McCourty. Loy Malloy, you know.
He got traded.
Big bucks, exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's you know, you got to spread it out. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody from wanting to, you know, get big bucks. You know, it's live in a capitalist society, and I have no problem with that. But if you want to win Super Bowls, that's just what you do. You know, they are the blueprint, the Pats. I mean, that's just, you know, it's proven year in and year out.
Well, I would agree with that. There's a couple of things that come to mind, Mike, as you're talking about the Patriots. Number one, you've got a ruthless Bill Belichick. I mean, he's a guy who makes the personnel decisions. Bob Kraft has given him that power, and he's ruthless about it. Doesn't mean he doesn't care about the guys he has, but he recognizes his job is to put the best team on the field, and he also understands that sometimes that means you have to make unpopular decisions. You mentioned the Lawyer Malloy trade. I distinctly remember how ticked off and angry Tom Brady was about it, because Malloy was the captain of the defense and he was Brady's best friend on the team. And it happened, if I'm not mistaken, after training camp, right before they kicked off whatever season they were about to start. But those are the kind of decisions that Belichick makes. Also, you talk about the running back position. There's not a snowball's chance in hell they would ever pay Todd Gurley money to a quarterback to a running back, or the kind of money that Ezekiel Elliott wants. They would never do that because, as you talk about, they recognize that it's not necessarily an interchangeable part, but that you can sub in a guy there and not see a ton of production drop off. It's not that they wouldn't take a really good running back, but they're certainly not going to pay big time money there when they recognize their other needs on the field. So, yeah, he's made a science out of it. And I don't know that Tom Brady doesn't want to be the highest paid QB, but it's not his priority. He would rather have the rings. And their track record, as you talk about, is one that should serve as a blueprint for the rest of the league.
Well, you know, you look at Brady too, and I mean, the guys, he's still in the top 10 as far as getting paid, but
He is now,
because of his legacy, he gets all the endorsements. He's got TB12, so he's going to be making his money probably more so just off the endorsements.
Right. But I think in some cases, Mike, though, there are players out there who that part doesn't matter. It's the respect factor of being the highest paid at your position. There's a respect that comes with that. And he doesn't care about that as much as he cares about winning.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But, when Antonio Brown went to the Raiders, I said, good luck, meaning to the Raiders. Because I'm sorry, he's just... You know, when you have Brown and Bell, you know, both divas, in my opinion, when they were with the Steelers, what they win, you know?
Oh, well, they won a lot of games. I mean, that's not fair. And I don't know that the games they didn't win were because of the offense. So they're very talented players. But as you talk about the team concept and the revolving door around Tom Brady, it's well documented, and yet still they win. And he's got a lot to do with that, but it's also the fact that they understand how to construct a team. Mike, thanks so much for listening in Boston. Good to talk to you.
All right.
Let's welcome Antoine, who's in Detroit. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. How you doing tonight?
Good.
I just called because I've been hearing all this Dak Prescott stuff the last couple of weeks and the Cowboys stuff, and I want to end it today.
You're going to end it? You're going to nip it in the bud?
I want to nip it in the bud, Amy, because it's killing me, because I'm a former football player, not NFL, but collegiate level. And when you're out there on the field, certain guys you can't replace. You know, you ever been somewhere and you just, especially as you being a journalist, you ever been around somebody who just knows their stuff so well, you're like, you know, damn, man, you know, you can't replace this guy. This guy, Ezekiel Elliott, has damn near led the league every year he's played in the NFL in rushing. And everybody wants to say, well, he's problematic on the, off the field. You're not paying the guy for off the field. You're paying him when he's in between those 100-yard lines. And he's a once-a-generational player. We all talk about is Dak worth the max? He hasn't proven himself without Zeke. You know, when you have a guy, it's just like if you got two twins and they're just really good together. For example, I hate to switch to another sport, but basketball. You got the Lopez brothers. Together, they're you know, they never played together, but separately they're well. But you can't compare that because they're doing two different things. When you look at a quarterback and a running back, Dak's whole offense is predicated off of what Zeke can do. Play action, moving the pocket, all these things. If you put Alfred Morris back there and expect him to do the same things Zeke Elliott did, you're crazy.
But Antoine, at the same time, you can't have an offense without a competent quarterback and just a Zeke. They go together. So I like the analogy of the twins. You have to have a quarterback as well. Otherwise, you become one-dimensional, which is why there's so much fear with the Ravens. Yes, they were much better when they gave the ball to Lamar Jackson and they played that ball control offense, but it didn't work in the playoffs because the Chargers knew how to stop it. And it's only going to work for so long before other defensive coordinators figure out how to jam it. And so you also have to have a quarterback to keep defenses honest.
No, most definitely. You do have to have a quarterback, but you don't have to have an elite quarterback when you have a top five generation guy. And don't get me wrong, Amari Cooper is a very good receiver, but the year before that in Oakland, he was stinking the place up. He was still playing good. So for him to just come back and have a half a season and do well and you want to max the guy out, I understand that. He's one of the once in a generational type guys too. But you got to go by priorities to your team. When you brought Zeke in from Ohio State, he was running the game in Ohio State. He came up and picked it up right in the NFL, led the league in rushing, I believe, that first year. You can't replace that. So when you get a guy like that that says, and the only reason I feel so much with Zeke is because of his position. Dak, he's going to play way
longer
than Ezekiel.
That's exactly why. I agree with you about that, Antoine, and that's the hang-up. That's the hesitation. It has nothing to do with Zeke personally. It has to do with how long can he be a generational player? How many hits can his body absorb? How long will he be at the top of his position? Because it doesn't last forever. Even the running backs who are still running into their 30s have obviously slowed down and don't have the same production. So you're always playing the odds and the ages when it comes to running backs, always. No matter how good they are when they come out, you're always playing the math.
You're the perfect example, Amy, that I'm going to let you go. I love speaking sports with you. If you look at, and this is one of the greatest running backs to ever play our game, if you look at what Adrian Peterson is going through right now, as a sports fan, it makes me sick, all the great years he had in Minnesota, for a guy to be there as great as he is, to be there for veteran presence to younger running backs. I feel like as a running back, Your presence alone, as far as being a great rusher, is what motivates other people around you. It's cool to be a teacher and all that, but it hurts me so bad to see Adrian Peterson getting these veteran minimum. This guy's one of the greatest running backs to ever play because he wasn't so worried about getting paid. And we're living, like your last caller said, we're living in a capitalist society now. And these guys are thinking about what they want to do after sports. They're thinking about their families. And when you got a guy who, like I say, Ezekiel Elliott's not the best person off the field, but nobody's perfect. But when you tell him to go
right.
to work.
But Antoine, it's not about perfection. It's about if you're going to get suspended year after year, why are we paying you? If you're not reliable, we can't continue to pay you money where, you know, we expect you to be there game in and game out. I'm sorry to let you go because we're up at the top, but thank you so much for calling. I do certainly think that you make a valid point that Zeke is worth more of the pie, maybe even than what we're talking about with Dak, but the two of them have to go together, which is why Dak and his camp and Amari Cooper and his camp and Zeke Elliott and his camp have to recognize that all three of those guys need to be on the roster moving forward. Thanks so much for your phone call in Detroit. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You can always reach us here at CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Let's see. There are a couple of things that I still want to get to. And so we'll do that after the top of the hour. But also next hour from Spartanburg, South Carolina, we're going to welcome former NFL All-Pro receiver and special teamer Steve Tasker, who, of course, you know, if you ever watch the NFL on CBS, he was with us for a long time as an analyst and a reporter. He has recently made the switch. So this is his first year in which he'll be exclusively Bills on the home of Bills Radio. It's WGR Sports Radio 550 in Western New York. When I worked in Rochester, it was all Bills all the time. And so John Murphy and he are doing a show together. And he is, because of that, with the Panthers and Bills as they're doing joint practices leading up to their next preseason game. But the reason that I asked Chris to get a former player on the show is because I wanted to talk about the helmet regulations and how difficult it is to switch. And Steve Tasker's the perfect guy to ask because he was a wide receiver, similar to Antonio Brown. He understands how important peripheral vision is. And so we're going to talk to him coming about, we'll say 25 minutes from now. He's going to join us. And we'll also get his take on Josh Allen and the changes with the Buffalo Bills. So that's coming up next hour. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also, the NBA schedule is out. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.